Says my Alman to your Alman, the one she'll the snaw. Says my Alman to your Alman, and I'll gie your lugs a claw. Idly idem day dum day dum day, ay diddle dum a day dum day. Idle diddle dum a day, diddle day dum day, ay day diddle diddle dum day. Chapter 5. Hogmanay. It was the eve of Hogmanay. It was winter, and it was the Sabbath, and Minnie Bruce had chilblains in her feet and chappit fingers. Forby, it was our ain white. When the first storms blew in o'er the hill of Ledrick, she hadna pocket her squeal beets with hay to line and warm them. Mere hour she hadna told her ma that her beets were leaking, because she liked her beets, and was feared that her ma would gar her wear an all pair till the weather cleared and yoke for the Bruces to win to the suitor hour at Dunracht to get her new ones. She had tried to warm her chilblains in the steen pig in her bed at night, but the heat got them dirl and itch a' the mair. In coarse weather like this, the feed men cleared the roads so the milk cart could fecht its way through the drifts and mark the skitey journey 8 mile into the town to her granda's dairy. Except it wasna granda's dairy on emir, it was Grinny's, because Granda Bruce had died a puckle month ago and had fluttered out to his house in Desloch Place to a lair in the nuke of the Macher Kirk. Minnie's folk had been a-wortin' up, redding up her grandfather's affairs to worry their heeds with a small meter of beets. It was hour late now to tell her ma that her beets were leaking. Snaw had been dinging down in Blindrift for days. It would take hours to fecht through the fight sought out of the suitor. Ma would gie her short shift, only why it was our ain pride that caused the chilblains, she kent that. The chappit hands were down to pride and a'. Twice a day, morning and night, Minnie was all on yoch new, at 12 year old, to help with the milking out in the dairy. 30 ree Ayrshire cows in the herd, and her favourite Jersey cow, Patty. Patty was the colour of Milton Toffee. Patty's thick, creamy milk it was that the Bruces used for their sales. The Ayrshire milk, though, was good enough for the Toonsers, for I wouldn't ken any better. Afore a cow was milked, you had to wash its teats in warm water to dicht awa' ony skirps o' sharn or full stray, for the beasts were keepit in the byre a' winter and muckit out with the bailey as pair to his darg. But likewise the warm water was to gar the cow think its coffee was sucklin' it with suppy het moo, so the cow would let doon its milk. Minnie's hands were steepit in the water 6 times morning and night, for she'd charge a 6 milking cows, a long business hand milking. It could take 20 minutes to strip a cow of milk, though they kent Minnie and trusted her, so it was quicker with her. Nor was there an eye out. The milk had to be stored in pails and cans and basins in the milk house afore Minnie washed her way through the snaw back to the farm house, usually without putting on her muckles and her hands, to collect her sled and piece and chalk, and it was a wick day, for the sledge hurled o'er the parks to the squeal at Ledrick. At Colroggy Squeal, the bairns had been mocking slideys of sliddery ice and bigging snaw manies and hen snob effects among theirselves when the school was nae closed by the weather. Though many wore her muckles to the squeal, the worst it was seen weedy and starving with the snaw, and by the time she came home through the parks, the woven fingers of them was pearled to the ice, and the hands inside were choppet and hocket and stooning with sears and rognails. The day, though, she wouldn't be allowed to plight her about in the snaw. It was the Sabbath, and Minnie's folk were rigging for the 4 mile hake to the kirk. They met her full course the weather, they mun mark the journey, for her father Matthew was presenter, and the folk couldna sing a note without him. Niece to the minister and the beadle, Minnie's da was the most important buddy there. Yestreen he'd pulled Minnie's sledge to the smiddy a hen prince the horse, so the smith could fit the muckle shelt with iron sheen, and sharpen them with spikes hammered in a elky hole to grip the ice and save the breed for skating. Minnie's da ain't 5 horse, a' with her ain wise and knitters, a' with her ain histories, Prince, Tibby, Faldy, Jimmy, Nancy, and her ain horse, Daisy. Da had gien her Daisy on her sack's birthday that ground together. When Daisy'd been all legs and lope, say had Minnie. She looed Daisy near as muckle she looed her da. Faith, she'd have been hard card to choose atween them if push come to shove. Minnie didna care muckle for the smith. Fyn i bwyd o'r prince's hoof, she hated to watch him chopping in the nails, though she kent it didn't hurt. The smith's face lifted up with the fire, and he blew the flames into a roaring low with the billows. His fazog was lined and sweaty, and black was seat and stew, like the deal might look if ever the deal stepped out of the pages of the Haley book. This morning our bedroom window up in the attic was glittery and faint with frost. Minnie hated rising on frosty mornings, putting her hot days beneath the cosy sheets onto the steam car linoleum, rugging on her clays to stop her teeth for chittering, getting east again to the scrat of the rock knitted knickers that Ma had woven for her out of a hunk of grey ooh, and seeing her breath hang afore her in white clouds. On second day, her snoot carried a permanent dreep, and her lugs were like 12 pink shells that had been nipped by a lobster. She blew hard in the windy, but on just softened the frost inside them, the smast thought he. Faith, there was even icicles hanging for the window frames, weens, the size of buttocks of broken spunks. She took her hard wee nails and rugged them down the ice, the ungartered shaft, and yoked to see out o'er the parks. Winter had thickened his grip through the night. He was awry, a king in his kingdom. Nae a breath of wind was steering out by. The ruts of the cattle court were smoothery with skiffins of snaw. The dry gers, the colour of torn brown paper, poked through the snaw like horse hair through the holes in an old burst leather chair. Rose hips at the foot of the kale yard were red as the robin's breasty, and over the washing green the snaw had laid a soft, white bowster that was criss-crossed with the merks of duckety beets and the wee pronged tridents of birdie's feet. Other by the gain in a nuke of the gers was the Prince of Benji's bars, and the yellow circle round the clay's pole for he'd peed when he left the house this morning with Minnie's da to check in the horse in the stable. Elkie Biggin and Steddin for miles was thackit with snaw, and the tail o' Elkie Slate Reef had a fringe of icicles dreepin'. The yellow sun gart the hein off Ledrach Dam shine like mither o' pearl, for the fight swans chittered atween the floes o' ice. The heart of the grun was like iron. In the spring the grun clung to your foot when you trod o'er it, and winter it threw ye off. But winter or nay, the Sabbath was the Sabbath, and downstairs our ma was crying on her, "Minnie, your parach is out. You'd better be up and rig it. We'll be leaving early the day to be sure to win through the snaw in time for the kirk." Down the stairs she ran to the warmth of the kitchen. My grandsie was over at the sink, pairing tatties for dinner time soup. Da was feeding the gowd chine of his hunter watch through the eelets of his waistcoat. His beets were shining like sharn, you could see your face in them, and the sapples of soap were still wheat aneath his lugs, for he'd razored awa' his stibble, and his mouser was washed and camed as grand's a provost. Her ma was preening a wide feathery hat onto her thick black hair. Sally Bruce had a tweed cape buttoned round her neck, and a thick worsted scarf for matching mohels. She was a bonny woman, the mistress of Steen Hillock. Stout kind, but she carried it well. Hanging down for her collar was a jabot of white lace, preened by a mauve Cairn Gordon. She'd gotten for her folk at Migvree, when she'd left her home to Mary and bide with Steen Hillock. She was counting the change for her purse to make sicker she'd mairn and yoke to put in the plate the elder would hand roon in by the kirk. Matty, Minnie's brother, was rigged in long hose tucked in aneath his knee-length breeks, and a thick tweed cape rugged down over his lugs. His gallus's wouldna bide buttoned, and Matty's mither was fichtering with him. "Sup your porridge, Minnie, your eye a hen like the cow's ae tail," her mither raged. But her da winked at her fair in her ma's back, and waited with the quiny while she teamed her platey, and helped her up into the governess car from the one outside. Tibby was hitched to the black springy car, stamping and snochering and tossing her long black mane. Minnie's dog had run to hear a word with her. "Oh, lass, bonny lass, wishty noo," he said, smoothing down Tib's flaring nostrils. "You'll get a fine feed of oats when the kirk's scaled, and a fine rub down in the stable. A bit of less temper noo, and a bit of mair peace." "God's sakes," mummled Minnie's ma to her twa half-grown bairns. "Your da should have merit a shilt. He's half-shilt as it is. I swear he spends mair time in the stable than he does in the house. He's mair concerned about Tibby and calling us, and is dashed well starving in this car, say it is." But no, Tib was saddled in harness, and down the road they gid, past the peat shed and the byre, barring on past the stable, the chammer, the neep shed, and Jock Dow's chammer, on the way to the kirk, the wheels of the governor's car leaving sheeny tracks of ice in the skitey brae. The woods that circled their father's parks were like burgundy, winey brown and bare in the deed thraw of winter. A robin wheepled out to them for the top of a rock. The brummel bus at the road iron was like barbed wire, the deed brummels were wee hard pearls of black, like rabbit's trappings. As they trotted ahin the drifts of icy snaw, a craw and a green branch abeen them opened and shut its doubt feathers like a lady clicking her fan, and craked after them hearse we call. The shooks by the road were running full a black bree. Many teetered to the burn over the side of the governor's car, watching a branch trail its fingers into the water. Long patterns of larks and swirls of black and white ran far the sun catched the watery tree-lips of snaw brie, garring them shine in the yellow, bleary sun. There'd been nae skating at the Ledrick Dam this year, out of respect for the trout walleye quarters, fast daughter Jessie had drowned herself there last Yule, rather than hae the bairn she was carrying. Father feather was only himself and Jessie Kent, for she took their secrets with her to the grave. Water christened her, water kissed her, Minnie's ma had said. For the lips of a frimmed woman drop as honey for the came, and her moo is smoother than ale, but her ein is worse as wormwood, sharp as a twied sword. Her feet gang down to death, her steps took hod a hail, Minnie's da had said, quoting five proverbs. For he had teen it as a personal affront to himself in his position as an office bearer in the kirk, that he knew his maids had gotten herself bairned in his firm, like as no we knew his feed men. Though Jessie Matheson had broken the commandments as weak as Eve afore her, Steen Hillock, who'd a thought for her feather dod and scunner of the dam itself, had bant many if he sit unfit with it 100 yards out. The governor's car was down in the main road now, but the main road was a thin, cleared path atween was a glimmering snaw. Tibby's shirtened hooves, though, held firm in the skitey ice. The snaw had stopped it. The kirk was reached. The Bruce family made ready to step down out of the car and took the wee pathy atween the headstones to the kirk door, for the beadle was ringing the summons to prayer for the muckle moo of the Steen Hillock parish kirk bell. The small steen in the kirkyard was wrought in the shape of a heart, and chiselled on it was the bare twa words, "Wee Jakey," a quarter's bairn for her deed in last year's winter storms and pneumonia. Minnie chittered, though her clays were warm. Her family had gone to the funeral for the quarter buddies were kirk buddies, but the grave digger opened the wrong layer, and the ground being harder to gain here and there to fill it again and open the righty. Minnie kent most of the names in the steens for folk in the flood very long or very far from the merit, nae like her ma, for belonged to Migvry, awa at the back of beyond. To Minnie's father, Hog Minnie meant little. But the quine kent fine that nae sooner would they win hame for the kirk and sup their dinner than her mither would clean the house fae top to bottom, Sabbath or no, in honour of the new year coming in and the all gone out. At Migvry, she told them, they'd left fires for the death of the all year, and first fit all their friends for a week and mair. Her man, Steen Hillock, wouldn't entertain ony a yon healing kind of notions. They'd the whiff of the heathen about them, he said. For a' that, he wad poor his neighbours out a seasonal dram from the cried in by the fair more than these few days. Nae a nyuch to send them off to their logic like some did, though. Their beasts and their women folk wouldn't thank you for sending them hame blind foo. He'd see no money buyers for a hungry beast roaring in the stars, waiting for their masters to cour a New Year's debauch, and was far over civilised to add a sup whisky to the horse trough like some farmers did, as though the horse would thank you for it. The kirk was near full from the wind tilt, like the beasts in the byre, ah, kent their own stars. Minnie's father drew out the tuning fork for its box, eh, and get for it to stand underneath the pulpit. The beadle, Gordon Watson, harpled up the wee steen steps with a great black book with gowdage leaves, and he opened it up for the minister and marked the place with a long red ribbon. Sighing, he harpled back down again to repeat the trip, this time with a glass jug of water and a tumbler in his rheumatic hands for fear the Reverend John Geddes needed something to clean his throat. I wish Martha Bruce wouldn't pitch his tunes so low, Minnie heard Mrs. Baxter feel the work of Rogie Gern to her man. Button your spaver, Geordie, you're a damned affront coming into the kirk with your shoppy door open. Had your waste woman or man gibbet back, a deed bird when I drop out of its nest. But I'll face'n to please ye, isn't as if I didn't in purpose. Minnie kicked up at her mother to see if she was talking this exchange. Sally Bruce's expression never let dab, and Da wouldn't have thought it was funny, Minnie jaloosed piously. A small voice was nae so far for a presenter. Matthew Bruce's voice followed the kirk, from the baptismal font to the lamp legs in the upstairs pews, the sort of voice that could ruin your heart like a hairy worm, sonorous and rich and rune. He didn't ken many tunes, but then neither did the congregation. French, Kilmarnock, or the All Hunter with the favourites, maybe a dozen tunes at most. The pie was small, but as our Da remarked, it was all the easier to carry home. There was a rachel of hymn books, the whiff of peppermint spitting in a moose to be soaked, a twa or three hosts and bland snoots, and the Reverend John Geddes wheeched through the kirk in his black suit and his fight dicky collar, with his black goon out at all like a hoodie craw. It being near a new hogmanay, he'd found a suitable text for Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, tak tent, because your enemy the devil is a roaring lion walketh about, seeking far he may devour. Sitting between Marty and her ma, Minnie turned feared for her mother Sally. Often, afore Steen Hillock's wife turned in for the night, she would pour herself a skirp of whisky, for the bottle with the white horsey in the front of it, a trick she'd learned at Migvry, for whisky seemed to be the cure for athing. Her Da only supped strong liquor at communion, or maybe a wee dram at a wedding or funeral, just to be sociable-like. Joke, Dow, the grieve at Steen Hillock would beteet her logic at the bells, aye, and nae just hogmanay either. Minnie minded when she and Izzy had heard Joke Dow roaring out of him when he'd pitten a young feed loon through the mystery of the horseman's word, likely that would be the devil trying to charm the nested, drunken, grisly breed that he was. Even the devil, though, wouldn't devour Joke Dow, unless the devil was by ordinar hungry. It was a long service and a longer sermon, and after the elders had taken the wee velvet buggies a siller for it to be blessed, and the congregation had been blessed, come the only bit that many really liked it in the kirk, found the Reverend John Geddes raxed out his blocky arms, and Da led the singing in the hymn Miss Blessing. The Lord bless ye and keep ye. The Lord make his face to shine upon ye and be gracious unto ye. The Lord lift up his countenance upon ye and give peace. There was something by ordinar sweet I went on aye words in the unblessing. Whether it was the tune she liked, or just because it was the ain of the service, she couldn't be sure, but she liked it by ordinar weel. New though, the elders were filing out and the pews were scaling. Out she gaed to the moo of the kirk, for her mither and feyther were newsing in the midst of twa separate bourachies of folk. By bitter experience, she kent to be there for a while. Minnie waded through the snaw between twa graves, mucking for a flat stein to doubt doon on. Oh, a suddenty, her lug was stung by the finger of a snawbuck cracking off the side of her head. Her lug felt as if it was in fire. It was stooning, dirling, swallowing. She fuddled roon, een bleezing, and another snobber had her full in the face this time, splitting her bottom lip. Nae ordinary snobber would have done, though. Looking down, she could see a steen in the midst of the snobber that struck her last. Sighing, she heard a stooshie get up, a fecht atween twa loons. Alec Matheson was hudding her brother Marty down in the snow, rubbing his nose in, and Marty was skirling out of him like a stuck pig. Alec Matheson was 5 years older than Minnie, ain't of the truth while I caught her. he knew her grandmother's dairyman in the town, home for the Sabbath day, says mither must wash his socks. Her father strode over and yarked Alec off her Maddie's back in a towering rage, wondering for to teen his bailies loans it is sick a thing to Maddie. He's just 14, men you'll kill him. But saw the stramash about anyway. The beadle, Gordon Watson, had seen Maddie putting the steens in the snowbars and pelting his sister Minnie with him, and took great delight in telling the presenter. Is this right, Alec? Matthew Bruce speared the young dairyman. Alec Matheson nodded. Steen Halleck turned to Maddie with a face of thunder. We dinna wash with fool linen in public. Get in the car now, Maddie. You too, Minnie. Your lug and your mule need some small attention. The family drove home in silence and the braid black doubt of Tibby. When the shelt drew up in the firm court, Matthew Bruce telt his loan, bringing in the stable afore him. Minnie kent it wouldn't be just to help Rob Doon Tibby and dry her out or gear her feed. Feather was losing his belt afore the loon went out of the stable door. The door swung tee. There was a minute's wheesht and then the scalp of leather and bare flesh, nains, but many times, and a yelp of pain for Maddie as the belt was yarked down his bare ears. Minnie's da came out of the stable, hauling Maddie by the lug, and flung him through the firm whose girding gate like a bond sheaf. "Did you need to be so hard, Martha?" speared his wife. "He that spareth the rod hateth the son," Proverbs 23 come thereupon. "For by woman have you seen the sutter he's made of the lassie's face?" Maddie was put to the stable to meet the horse with the greave after his feather quailed down, and after that to muck out the byre with the oar alone, for it was Sabbath and the quarter's day off. In the ordinary way, Maddie would have been upstairs learning the lessons for him that he'd gotten from Strathbogie College in the town, but the day, if he chose to behave like a beast, he could bide with him, his feather said. Dinner had been an unca strained affair. Sally Bruce thought her man made far o'er muckle of Minnie. Maybe Maddie had been some coarse, but it was ill to thole seeing Steen Halleck peter the way he did, as if the call wind shouldn't blown her. Minnie's man da hadna spoken to a word to another except for the grace. "Some he meet and canna eat, some would eat but went it, but we he meet and we can eat, and say the Lord bethunk it." The broth was cold, the pudding was brunt, Maddie had been thrashed, and Minnie's moo was split, and her lug was twice its size. Apart from yawn, our thing was fine. Matthew Bruce teamed his pudding plate, banked it down on the table, and got upstairs to change it to his Sabbath clothes. The horse would need fresh bedding, and any of them needed liniment rub it into a sair joint. Sally Bruce was swiping the stewer for Elkie Nuke with a vengeance, near rubbing the face off the flagstones at the outside door. The maid, Meg Ramsay, had borne the brunt of the scene to be hogging a cleaning your stream, and had socked for a full day off. The sweep had been in and cleaned the llama wick sign. The new year man he a-thing clean and bonny for it, inside and out. Minnie, though, was doping down afore the fire, hudding a cauld clout to her het lug and her fat lip to bring down the swelling, watching the flames lope up between the brown peats crumbling in a ace and smush at the reed foon. In the hindmost hours of the old year, Sally Bruce sat Minnie down to spread egg sandwiches while she baked scones and bannocks and biscuits for first fitters coming. Ah, the curtains had been changed, even the beds had been stripped and clean bedding put on. Dumplings were biled to see them into the new year, for kinsmen would tramp round for days seeing a' their closest friends to hansel the time. Martha Bruce came back into the house when the horse were settled and the milk an hour and by with Maddie at his heels, an uneasy kind of a peace atween him. The clocks had to be won up, the old grandfather clock at the foot of the stairs first of a', and the fires be get up to keep the call out, for the snaw was drifting round the wa's like a cat, rubbing itself up again a cheer, went in a dry lap to sit on. Afore they kent say hidin' to da been, the old year'd gin wide to the new, and Jock Dow the Grieve was chopping at their door wi' a bottle, a reed-heeded chiel their first fit. Well, nae lucky, but fit could ye dee, turn him awa' in sic a nicht as yon. Say any come wi' kirn some o' their quarter bairns at his tail, singing their yearly party piece. Rise up, good wife, and shake your feathers. Dinna think that we are beggars. We're only bairnies come to play. Rise up and geese, we're hog my nae. The next call, we're clazers then. Geese a piece and let us run. Minnie's folk took the bairns in about to the fire to give them a heat and a tangy and a drink of rosehip jelly and to dry out their wheat mochels afore Jock Dow led them off like the Pied Piper to the next house. It's easy, Kent, he's nae his ain, Matthew Bruce said as he took at his wife and Ethie's oxters, or he wouldna be so keen to shepherd a' their buddies' bairns. And I dinna suppose it would hae onything to do with the fact that folk will aye open their door to a bairn. They mightna be so keen to let Jock out of their porch, his lean, wi' a drouth like his. Neither Minnie nor Marty were let out to sing round the doors, so Hogmanay finished seeing after for them. Sally Bruce got her loonies first dram when his feather's back was turned, and Minnie got a hot milk drink and a steen pig to tack to bed wi'. Afore she knelt down in her goon and the calf leered to say her prayers, she took at her dolly Betsy and to her bed, and creeped out to the window to take a look o'er the parks at the starny left. It was a pity Jock Dow had been their first fit of the year, though Dad had laughed and told her ma, och, it was a superstitious state. The snow was dinging on real fast and soft now, with flakes the size of peppermints, the lug of the necht took intent to the littlin's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die afore I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. May thine be the power and the glory, for ever and ever and ever. Amen. For some reason it was awfu' important to Minnie to say three forevers, for it made it three times as likely the Lord would take tent if it she was saying to him. She went out far the Lord, took folk that deed, like Jesse Matheson, Pierre Glegger Jesse, first place in the kirk as yet had nae been fault.